Luke 19:41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, but could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word this day. How we thank you for so great a salvation that you've given to us. We thank you for Jesus Christ and what he's done. I pray, Lord, that you would take this word today and apply it to each of our hearts and minds and draw us closer to you. Help us to walk more in the center of thy will. If there's a lost soul in the sound of my voice, Lord, may they come to know you as Savior and Lord. We pray that. And then, Lord, we pray for every child of God that's here that we'd be drawn closer to you. We'd live better for you. And, Lord, we'd know the time of our visitation. God, give me a freedom and ease that only you can give. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus had made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and the people were crying, Oh, praise the Lord, Hosanna, and whatever. And some of the people didn't like it, some of the Pharisees and others. And they said, Why, tell your disciples to be quiet. He said, Why, if they got quiet, the rocks would start crying. They would shout out my glory. I mean, it was going to happen. Now then, it says in verse 41, And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Now, this is Jerusalem. This is Jerusalem. This is the capital of Judaism. This is the holy city. This is David's city. This is the place where the temple was. This is the place where the kings reigned. This is the place supposed to expect the Messiah, supposed to wait for him, expect him, and know him when he came and receive him. But he comes in and he weeps over it. And he says, If thou hadst known. Now, Jerusalem didn't know. That's a tragedy. They didn't recognize Jesus Christ. Only a few did. You see, Jesus comes in, and the scribes and the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jews, they didn't like him. They didn't want him, and they were not going to accept him. And they fought the people that did. And the minority of Israel that accepted Christ, why, they were special people. But the great majority, along with the priests and their leadership, why, they opposed him continually. You know, I've thought something like this. I take very seriously that I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I walked up doors, knocked on somebody's door, and they treat me like I'm a Fuller Brush salesman. Treat me like I'm a Jehovah's Witness. And I walk away, and I say, if they just knew, Jesus Christ inside of me. I'm an ambassador of the living God. I have the truth. And if they just knew it. Well, that's what he's saying to Jerusalem. If you knew who you were rejecting, if you knew what's going to happen to you because of this rejection, if you could see the future, but you're blind. Now, one thing about us, we don't see the future, do we? The only way we can see it is to look in the Word of God, and we can find it there. Otherwise, we don't have very good foresight. Otherwise, we'd choose different partners sometimes. We'd choose different businesses sometimes. We'd invest in different things, wouldn't we? You wouldn't be working for Enron if you had enough sense to know what was going to happen, say, 30 years ahead of time. You wouldn't let them be your retirement. You'd have pulled out and did something else. Why? I can think of a lot of things. If you'd just known what was going to happen next year, you'd have been different. Well, here's Jerusalem, and he's weeping over it. Now, someone was preaching the other night on Jesus wept. In fact, I believe that's been hit two or three times in the last month, I think. So it must be something to it. Here's Jesus weeping again. He's not weeping for his friend Lazarus. He's weeping for the city of Jerusalem because he sees what's going to come. You see, 40 years after this, 70 AD, the Roman general Titus comes into the Holy Land and does exactly what Jesus Christ said he was going to do right here. He puts a trench all around the city. He starves them out. And then he conquers them. And he crucifies them right and left. Kills them by the hundreds and thousands. Takes the temple and knocks all of the buildings down of the temple. Oh, man. And Jesus is looking forward. It's sort of like when you're studying Daniel. And Daniel, when he sees his vision of these things taking place at the end, is astonished. And he's sick because he sees what's going to happen to his people. And he doesn't understand. Lord, I don't understand. Well, he says, seal up some of these things. It's for the latter days. But Jesus is looking here at Jerusalem. Have you ever looked at somebody making a real big mistake and you knew they were making a mistake?
Yes.
Now, older people have a chance to do this a little better than younger people, but young people see it too. You can have enough sense to see that some of your friends are really heading down the wrong way and back off. Get out of the car and go home.
Amen.
When my girls dated, they always had a $20 bill in their wallet that they were not to spend on candy or cigarettes. That was mad money. Some old boy makes you mad, you got $20. Get out of the car and call a taxi. Get someplace, you got $20. Now, you don't spend that money on a hamburger. They probably did several times because I kept having to resupply the $20 bill. But that was mad money. That's getaway money. That's get out money, because there's some places I don't want you. And that's not a bad idea, some of you parents. You might learn a little something there. Of course, now then, you're so rich, all your kids got cell phones. They just say, hey, Dad, which is pretty nice, too. I'd have them at least have a beeper where I could reach them and or where they could get me on my beeper. But he's looking and he sees the future and he weeps because he sees what a mistake they're making. Now, I hope the Lord's not weeping over you right now. Looking at some of your decisions, looking at what you've chosen, looking at the lifestyle you think you want to live, looking at the sin that you think you don't want to give up, and he looks at you and weeps. I know I've done it. I've seen people make some really bad decisions in this church. Bad decisions. They knew they were sin, they knew they were wrong, but they're going to do it anyway. And I've wept. I've laid in my bed at night and wept over decisions that Christians made in this church. And that's Jesus. He's looking at Jerusalem. And he's weeping over it. The Lord cared. The Lord cared. Do you know that's why the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you? Casting all your care upon him. You think nobody cares. You're going through a tough time. Maybe in your marriage. Maybe in your business. Maybe in your physical life. Maybe you're really bad sick. Maybe you think you're going to die or be crippled, or you're going to lose something bad that's going to hurt you. You're going through a bad time, and everybody else is happy because they got a new car. And so they can't just be too sad with you today because they have a new car, see? So they don't sympathize. But the Lord cares. The Lord cares. Jesus wept over it. And said, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day. Now, you get a good day. Isn't that a beautiful thing? In this thy day. The day of opportunity. Day of salvation. The day that you get to hear the gospel. The day that you get told the truth. The day that some prophet walks up to you and says, thou art the man. The day the preacher preaches and the Holy Spirit just seals it to your heart and you know for certain he's talking to you.
Amen.
Although he doesn't even know your name. He has no idea what you're doing. And that's happened to me I don't know how many times. Somebody will say, well, he can get mad at me. I've had people really upset, get mad at me and tell me off. I didn't have a clue till they told me. When they told me, then I knew I'd hit the mark. I must have been filled with the Holy Spirit and didn't know it. That made them mad. Old Brent was preaching with me. He was about 19 years old, you know, and everybody that got run off from the church was generally run off because they were mad at me. Well, we finally had this one family. They got mad at Brent and left the church. I said, well, you finally arrived, Brent. We can call you a full-fledged preacher. Now you run somebody off from the church. Preach hard enough, make somebody mad. Well, he said, if you had just known thou at least in this thy day. Have you had a day and did you take advantage of your day? They had a day. Now, I can't say that for all the world. I don't know. Somebody said, well, about the fairness of God. Well, I'm not sure God's fair. I know God is just. But you don't get saved without the name of Jesus Christ. I heard it all my life. I raised up in a Christian family. I'm in a Christian nation. In the Bible Belt of America. I wasn't raised up a Catholic. I wasn't raised up a communist. I wasn't raised up in South Africa. You know what? I had a day. I had a day when the gospel was preached to me. I had a day when I had the word of God. I had a day whenever I could repent and turn around. They had a day. Now, I leave it up to God to do all of what's going to be judged on people who don't have that same type of thing. And I'll trust Him because He's an all-wise God. But you and I that have a day, we don't have an excuse. Has somebody rebuked you? Has the Word of God struck your heart? Have you had opportunity to see? And has the conviction of the Holy Spirit come upon you? You've had your day. Amen. Now, what are you going to do with it? I preached, I guess it was last week, and I preached on Escape for Thy Life. And when I come down to the end, I had a point I really wanted to make, and I never did make it. That's the problem with preaching without notes, you know. I got all these things that I think I want to say, and I put it in my head four or five times, and then whatever the Holy Spirit brings out, whatever I remember, that's what comes out. And if I don't remember it, I don't make it. Well, I had a question I was going to ask you. You know, escape for thy life, okay? What did the son-in-laws of Lot do with their message? They ignored it. They thought he was one that mocked them. They laughed. Hey, the old man's gone nuts. And I was going to say, what will you do with your message? Completely forgot to say it. I guess the message got out anyway, but I wanted to say that. Yeah, I really wanted to say that. But I didn't say it. First mistake I ever made. But I can say it right here today. What will you do with your message? What will you do with the will of God for your life? What will you do today with what the Holy Spirit tells you to do? Amen. What will you do with the rebuke or the warning that comes your way? Jerusalem is going to ignore it, but for the great majority. Oh, they're going to be the disciples of John. They're going to be actually a few, I believe probably Nicodemus got saved, and Joseph of Arimathea probably got saved, a couple of the high ups that got saved. Most of the other people are just common people. Fishermen, laborers, workers, not a number of the priests. What are you going to do with the message you get? What are you going to do with the warning of your day? What are you going to do with what God gives you today to make decisions on? Jerusalem had a day, and what he said was, you didn't use this day. You lost this day. And I look out there at the future, and I see what's going to happen to you, and it breaks my heart. That's what Jesus is saying. If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. You know, I think about this, and let me go back and sort of bring another little side to this. Instead of the judgment that's coming your way, instead of the disaster that's coming your way, if you just knew the peace you could have today. The things that belong unto thy peace. If you just known what you could have. You know, this world, television, radio, newspaper, the people, the system of this world thinks, man, drink Coors and Bud and you'll all look beautiful and you'll all be happy and everybody will have a wonderful time and everything's going to be wonderful. In your experience, is that true? Some of you listened to those same lies and you thought that was the way to be. But in your experience, is that true? No. I thought when I got saved, I was giving up all the fun in the world. No parties, no more, no fun. Got to walk around staid and sour and look mean and ugly. And I've had more fun since I got saved than I ever could have had them before.
Amen. Amen.
I have had a ball. I've lived an adventure, I want you to know. My life is worth something. Hey, I kept one woman reasonably happy for 48 years. If that's not a good lover, I don't know what it is. Some of these guys think they're the greatest lovers in the world, have been divorced and married 5 times. You're not the great lover. Something's wrong here. If you just knew the things of peace you could have if you'd walk with God.
Amen.
Some of you in this room right here, if you just knew the things of peace that could be yours today and the next 10 years and 15 and 20 years, if you just knew. Oh, you'd choose Jesus. You'd choose the Word of God. You'd choose the right way. Someone said, if you serve Jesus, you always win. Now, that's not really true. If it were true, the mafia would be all in serving Jesus. You understand? No, sometimes you serve Jesus, you lose. But you only lose physical things. Financial things. You don't lose in the heart. You don't lose in the peace of mind. You don't lose in the relationship with God. You don't lose in the joy of this life. I tell you what, I am so thankful God saved me and then that He called me to preach. And then He's put me with the best people of the earth for 45 years. Now, I can tell you all sorts of sins of Christians. And I can tell you about all types of fights among Christians and in churches. I can tell you about lots of troubles in churches. They're still the best people on the face of the earth. And I'd rather walk with 30 of them for the rest of my life than thousands of others who don't have that same goal, that same purpose, and that same peace. If you'd just known the things that belong to your peace. Jerusalem could have been set up. She's going to be. Did you know this? In the future, Jerusalem will be the capital of the world for 1,000 years. The capital of the world. It's going to happen. Maybe in a little while, just a few years. I figured it should have happened already. But then that proves I'm not a prophet. Bible says the kind of prophets they got. Now, Jeannie Dixon, she can make a bunch of mistakes, but if she ever gets one right, I'm a prophet, you know. And the Bible says you get one wrong, they stone you. You're not a prophet. We just proved you're wrong. You got one wrong, all you got to get is one wrong. Well, I already proved I'm not a prophet. If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Now let me give you a warning here. Be careful to listen to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God when it speaks to you. Because when you first decide, okay, I know this is the will of God, but I'm not going to do it, you just close down your window. He said, if you'd have just known, but now they are hid from thine eyes. You obey the Spirit of the Lord, He'll keep giving you knowledge. You turn the Spirit of the Lord off and say, nope, I know that's your will. I know what you want, but I'm not going to do it. You just cut yourself off. You didn't lose your salvation. You just cut yourself off from more truth. You just cut yourself off from more light. You buy the truth. You don't sell it for any reason. You buy the truth. You pay whatever you have to pay to get the truth of God. You don't give it up for any reason. Buy the truth and sell it not. Do not close down the prompting of the Holy Spirit when the Word of God is preached, when a brother's witnessing to you, when somebody's rebuking you, even though it might be your parents or a friend, and God, the Holy Spirit's working on you. Don't close off that opportunity, or you'll be just like Jerusalem. She had her opportunity. She had her day. She had the greatest preacher that has ever lived for 3.5 years. Then she had the 12 men he trained. What light. Tremendous light. And she closed it off And now it's hid from her eyes. She's going to go on for the next 40 years in her blindness until her destruction comes. And her destruction is coming. It's coming. We look back from history and we see it. We even know the name of the general that did it. Here's what's going to happen to you. Verse 43. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side. Now this is called a siege. Jerusalem was a fenced city. David had a hard time taking it. And others, they had to fight hard to get it. A fenced city meant that they had almost everything they needed within it. Babylon was a fenced city. And they had the river running underneath this huge fence, you know, this fence around this city is like about 40 feet high and about 40 feet wide. They could run chariots around the top of it. That's how big it was. Jericho was like that. And because they sit with anything, we're protected. We just sit here. We've got our protection. Well, same way with Jerusalem. And the same way with Babylon. Well, how did the Persians whip the Babylonians? They went back up here as an engineer and they blocked off the river. They put a dam in the river. The water went down and they went in through the path right under the thing and took the city. Killed Belshazzar in the same night. The very night he was having his big feast. All these people are gathered together and they're having a party inside because they've had a Persian army for a year outside, starving them off, not letting anything go in, anything come out. How long do you think there'd be any food in HEB if we stopped the trucks for about a week? Huh? Not very long. All you have to do is stop the trucks for a week and this city would be starving. You don't have any backyard gardens. You don't have any victory gardens like they had in World War II. You wouldn't know how to raise a tomato if you had the chance. You wouldn't know how to pick beans, would you? And dry them out. We'd starve to death. Well, when you cut off your supplies to a huge city, how long can they last? You remember that one in the Old Testament? Samaria's besieged till they're selling dove's dung, a quart of dove's dung for a price. People are eating this? That's hungry. A woman eats her baby. We boiled my son and did eat him. Why is she so hungry? Because they got an army sitting outside, been sitting there for a year and a half. Nothing's going in, nothing's going out. They're going to make you surrender. That's what happened to Jerusalem. Titus with his army comes down and he sets up a roundabout her and he closes her off and then he conquers her. And when he does, it says right here, and they shall lay thee even with the ground. They're going to go in and destroy everything. And by the way, Rome was not exactly like the United States. We go over and we wipe out Japan and we build them back up. We wipe out Germany, we build them back up. Rome didn't do that. They let them build themselves back up and pay Rome the whole time they're doing it. They shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. The only thing left of the temple grounds is called the Wailing Wall. There's some huge stones. I think they're 30 feet by 4 or 5 feet or something like that. I don't know how in the world they got them up there. But that's where the Jews go to pray. When you see them on the news and they're going to the Wailing Wall, they're going to the only thing left out of their temple. In fact, there's a Muslim mosque sitting right over the place where the temple's supposed to be. And all that's left for these Jews is this one little portion of what they call the Wailing Wall. And they go there to pray, and they go there to cry, and they go there to seek God. I mean, when they went in there, they were destroying everything. That temple was a beautiful temple. The temple that Titus destroyed was the third temple. It was Herod's temple. It wasn't Solomon's temple. It was Herod's temple, but it was a beautiful temple, much better than the one built by Ezra and Nehemiah. And this one was a glorious thing, a big thing, not on the same scale as Solomon's temple, but still a very glorious edifice and whatever. Remember they took Jesus and wanted him to look at the temple? And he said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. And they thought he was talking about that temple because he could have done that too. But they thought he was talking about the temple of his body. Well, that's what's going to happen. And it happens in 70 A.D. So Jesus is looking down there and he says, he weeps over them because if they'd have just known the day of their visitation. He said, they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now, that's an interesting thought, along with the same thing that we've done, but I just like the way it's phrased, thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. I've gone to houses that they wouldn't even let me in. I've gone to houses where the people were inside. They've been coming to this church. I go to the house, they're inside, they see it's me, they will not open the door. And so when I see that, I generally just keep ringing the doorbell. They're going to mess with me, I'll mess with them. I'm so sweet. Just my nature. Do you know when the Lord visits you? You ought to know. I hope you know. They didn't know the time of their visitation. They didn't know who they refused. Can you imagine the Lord coming down and visiting your house and you think he's just a stranger? You think he's a salesman? You know Sodom and Gomorrah? They didn't know the day of their visitation, did they? Two angels from God walked their streets and they wanted to molest them. They didn't know who they were messing with. They didn't know the time of their visitation. Here's Jerusalem. This religious city, this city of the Bible, this city of history, this city with a future. And Jesus Christ, the God who spoke this world into existence, walks through it and they didn't recognize him. They didn't know when they got visited. And what happened? Well, if you don't know the day of your visitation, you're going to get destruction. That's what he said right here. Why are they going to be destroyed? They're blind. They did not know the day of their visitation. He said, because you didn't know. I hope I have enough spiritual sense to recognize when God speaks to me. I don't want to be so dull that when God actually visits me, I'm not paying attention. And you know how kids are. The Bible says many, many times, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'll be whispering to Verlene and say, I think you ought to make us some oatmeal cookies. The kids say, yeah. They're hearing everything else. They're in the living room watching television. They're making a difference. They heard that word. I say, Eddie's time to mow the lawn. He didn't hear me. Billy, it's time to wash the car. He didn't hear me. You got to go get their attention, you know. Turn their face into your face and say, listen to me. Read my lips. Isn't it amazing how we listen to certain things and don't listen to other things? I don't want to be dull of hearing when God speaks to me. Amen. You don't want to be dull of hearing when God speaks to you. I know people who are, but you don't want to be. It says in verse 45, and he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought. Now, a big trade had taken place in the temple. It was sort of like a flea market. And sort of the big grounds out around the temple was a part of the temple grounds, but it was like an open space that would gather a lot of people. They got into the business of selling land. What they'll buy your dollars for or what they'll buy your pesos for. What they'll sell you pesos or what they'll sell you dollars for. Every time they make a transaction, of course, they make a little profit. It's not a real big profit. It's not a real big thing. But it's a small percentage. But you pay every time you change. Whatever. Well, back in that day, they had a lot of different kinds of money, too. Because Jews were scattered all around the world. And they would come back to Jerusalem to visit the temple and to make a sacrifice. Well, I'm from Caesarea Philippi. I don't want to carry a lamb with me on this long journey. So I'd wait till I got to Jerusalem and I would go to buy a lamb. Well, instead of going out into the country, it was very convenient to have it right there in the temple. And so you got the lambs and the sheep and money changers and all these other little businesses that grew up around it. And it's all right there in the temple. You know why we don't have anything here? We don't sell anything for this right here. We don't make a profit on anything. We're not in here for profit.
Amen. That's right.
If you want to buy a good Bible book, there's places you can buy them or you can order them. We don't sell them. Now, maybe I'm a little bit too extreme on this, but I'm careful about some things like that. And we just don't have any kind of business. They said, I'd like to rent your building for this. I said, no, we don't rent our building.
Amen.
Well, don't you think you ought to help us with this cause or that cause? I said, no, this is a church.
That's right.
If anybody gets married in this church, it's going to be people that come to this church.
Amen.
I don't like weddings anyway. They're almost bad as a funeral. Weddings and funerals. See, the Bible never told me to do weddings and funerals. Show me anywhere in my Bible where I'm supposed to do weddings or funerals. I do them, but my job is to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Now, what they had going was what you would think very practical. I mean, people need lambs, don't they? Well, you're a businessman, Jeff. You got to make a profit, even when you sell to me. You got to make a profit, don't you? I had a fellow who was a missionary with me, and he was a car salesman. He owned a Chevrolet dealership back in North Carolina somewhere. And then he was called to mission fields. His brother took over the dealership, and he went on the mission field. And he told him one time, he said, people would come in and say, now, brother, I'm your friend. You're going to sell it to me at cost, aren't you? He said, if I didn't make a profit on my friends, I'd go out of business. You ever thought about that? Now, when the car dealership says, we're selling these at a loss. Remember, all politicians and almost all salesmen are liars. They have to be. If I don't make a profit on my friends, how in the world am I going to stay in business? If you don't make a profit, you don't stay in business. So, it would be normal to think these guys inside the temple grounds are not just offering a service for free. They're making it a profit. But hey, what's the biggest pleasure to a trader? To get you. I'm the best dealer. I'm the best trader. I sold it for a dollar more than it was worth. You got stuck. Well, man, if you come from Caesarea Philippi and you're buying a lamb down here, they're going to stick it to you. They're not worried about getting just the price. There's no fixed prices. And Jesus got mad. The Bible says he ran them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen in another gospel. He took a whip. He took a rope, cords, folded them up, made a whip out of it, and ran the people buying and selling. He ran them out of the temple. And it says, and the sheep and the oxen. So when he ran them, he didn't just put the whip to the sheep and the oxen, he put the whip to the people. This gentle little effeminate Jesus. No, sir. That was a carpenter's arm that went up there. There were muscles in it. There were calluses on the hands. And he wasn't some little bitty sissy where his mother's bigger than him. You seen some of these statues? If I were still a betting man, I'd give you 10-1 odds. Jesus is a lot bigger than Mary.
Amen.
Just if I were a betting man. You know me. I don't bet on anything. He said to cast them out that sold therein and them that bought, saying, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. I think you need to be real careful what you do in a church.
Amen.
Practically speaking, a church can put in a nursery and a first grade and make enough off of it to pay the whole expenses of the church building. That's true. That's business. But I don't think the church should be in business.
Amen.
Now, when they go on and put a high school in or a junior high school, then the money out of the church is going into the school. But if you keep it down to daycare and first grade, you can make enough money off of it to pay all the expenses of the church. That's why there's so many of them out there. Is it that they're so interested in Christian education? No, they're interested in money. We can build this building, we can have these things, and this is the way we'll finance it. I don't believe we ought to be financed any other way than the offering, free will offerings of God's people. And if you're so stingy or so without faith that you will not give to support the work, let it fall.
That's right.
Jesus ran them out of the temple. He said, this is a house of prayer. This is a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. No, just honest businessmen. Just making a profit. I mean, it's just, we're offering a service to the people that come here. We're offering a service. How many times you heard that?
Yep, that's right.
It's over and over and over again in Christianity today. Well, we're just offering a service. Well, you're offering something you shouldn't be offering. Maybe you're in business, you shouldn't be in business. Maybe you ought to let the church be what it ought to be.
Amen.
See, I have a conviction about the home. I have a conviction about the church. I think they're the only two things God instituted and the rest of it doesn't matter. You put your home right, you put the church right. And you get the blessing of God.
That's right.
You don't get your home right, you don't get the church right, you're going to miss the blessing of God. I don't care how good your businessmen are. I don't care how much profit they can make. I don't care how much service they can provide. You better do what God wants it to do.
Amen.
And Jesus went into the temple and ran them out of the temple with a whip and the sheep and the oxen, it says. And he said, this house is a house of prayer. That's what we ought to be. We're here to teach the Word of God. We're here to pray to God. We're here to speak for God. We're here for spiritual growth. And if the world doesn't like that, that's the world's problem. God didn't call me to please the world.
That's right.
God called me to preach the Word. All I can do is the best I can do for that right there. I can do the best. I can't take care of everybody else's house. I can take care of mine. I can guard mine. I can watch over mine. And by the grace of God, I'm glad I'm where I'm at. All my kids are grown. My youngest one going to be 30. My oldest one heading towards 47. I'm thankful I'm where I'm at. Because raising these kids, that's scary. You talk about scary. You know nothing about it. Yeah. Raising these kids, it's scary. They go out on a date. They get old enough. They start driving their own car. You think you can protect them? You think you can keep them home and protect them? You can't do it. And let me tell you what, if you went on the date with them, you couldn't protect them. Oh, yeah. Go sit in the back seat on every date your girl goes on. Send your big brother, the big brother, on the date with them. You can't protect them. So you better do a lot of time praying. Yeah. When it's your kids, you pray. Now, you may not be praying much for my kids, but when it's your kids, you pray. You've made my place, which should be a house of prayer, a den of thieves. Isn't that terrible? I think we ought to be very careful what we allow in the church, what we do in the church, and what we do in our homes. So verse 37, and he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. Isn't it amazing the emotions different religious teachings bring up? They bring them up. Politics will do that. We get an election going and we get, you know, sometimes the candidates are so much alike that you don't know really. There's not that much difference in them. But every once in a while we get somebody that's like Goldwater. They polarize people for it. And people in the same church are, I'm for Goldwater, I'm for this one. Boy, they go back and forth, you know. And you got all these strong emotions. Well, what about the church? Anything ever divide the church? Yeah, right. Things divide the church. Christmas can divide the church. Television can divide the church. Miniskirts can divide the church. Low-cut blouses and low-cut pants can divide the church. How the money's spent can divide the church.
Yeah.
Who plays the piano? I've seen churches split over who played the piano. I mean, the church gets mad, divides and fights and divides up over whether one person or another person gets to play the piano. You think the devil can't use something to divide you up? What about your family? I know a man that divorced his wife because she didn't have supper ready when he walked into the door. Over and over again. She just wouldn't have it ready. He had to sit around and wait 30 minutes to an hour to get supper. He divorced his wife for that. It was a friend of mine. I told him he was crazy. Amen. Good night, man. Major on the majors, minor on the minors.
Right.
You got to have a little bit of common sense. It'll go a long ways, just a little bit of common sense. It says right here, he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and scribes and chief of the people sought to destroy him. So what if he teaches in the temple something different than you believe? You ready to go kill him? Are you ready to take him out and crucify him? Are you ready to tell lies on him and get him thrown in jail? Get him beaten and get him taken out to a cross? What kind of religion do you have anyway? Our missionaries go down there in Mexico and they preach in the streets, and some of these good, sweet, loving Catholic ladies throw rocks on them, spit on them, and want them killed. Their son or their daughter gets saved, they kick them out of the house. I don't want you in my house anymore. You're not my son. You're not my daughter. You're gone. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Even if my kids are wrong, they're still my kids. Even if my kids are in sin and disciplined out of the church, they're still my kids. If you leave everybody that doesn't agree with you, you're going to be meeting by yourself.
That's right.
You're going to have a big congregation of one.
That's right. That's right.
That sweet, lovely lady back over there, she has the audacity to disagree with me. And she can be wrong if she wants to be. He taught daily in the temple. He taught daily in the temple. He's up there every day and he's teaching, and they don't like what he's teaching. They don't like it so much they're thinking how they can destroy him. In the name of religion, a lot of men have been destroyed. It's happening today. Do you realize Al-Qaeda or the others, I can't name the name of the others. You know what their biggest thing is? Religion. They're fanatics. I'm a fanatic. I understand that. I take the term. I am a fanatic. I am sold out. I am biased. I am for Jesus.
Amen.
I read everything in a biased light. I preach with a bias behind me. I'm not open-minded.
Amen.
A trash can is open-minded. You can dump anything into it. I'm very restrictive about what I let come in here. But is it so strong that I'm willing to kill somebody because they don't agree with me? Man, there's something wrong there. Something really wrong there. He taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and scribes, the chief of the people, sought to destroy him. Look at verse 48. Could not find what they might do. How are we going to get this guy? For all the people were very attentive to hear him. Now, they could have destroyed him any day they wanted to, humanly speaking. But they were afraid of the people. You know what these scribes and Pharisees and these leaders, these religious leaders were? They were weather vanes. Whichever way the people blow, that's the way they turn. They were afraid of the people. If you're right, stand by yourself and do what's right. What are you worried about? You're going to go out and take a poll, and that's the way you're going to vote, the way the poll goes? We just take a poll in the church, and whatever the majority says, that'll be the doctrine that we have? Well, a lot of churches just like that.
That's right.
There are people like that all over. Preachers like that, or politicians like that all over. Jesus is teaching in the temple. They want to destroy him. They want to shut him up, and they can't because they're afraid of the people. You know, if you're ever going to preach and you're ever going to make anything out for God, you're going to have some convictions you'll stand on if you have to stand by yourself.
That's true.
Amen.
I think it's a beautiful passage. I think we need to know when the Lord visits.
Amen.
I think there's too many examples in the Bible that let us know you don't want to miss the visit of God. Noah, Lot, Abraham, Jerusalem, Just a few examples. You better pay attention when God walks through your streets. You better pay attention when the Holy Spirit takes this word and seals it into your mind. When you say, uh-oh, God's talking to me, then you better deal with the message.
Amen.
And do the right thing about it. Amen?
Amen?
Well, Lord bless you. Steve will probably be back next week.